Hello.
Radio.
Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. We all come in to this plane with many, many gifts that we're giving for this world and this community, and it's amazing that that by the time we actually get sort of brainwashed and potty trained and housebroken, that we forget what we came in here for. And many of us take half a lifetime to get back on track and get onto the positive things that we really came here for. And then some people never do. Some people, amazingly, seem to remember it right from the beginning and just charge on with what they came here to do, even almost as babies and toddlers. And it's absolutely fascinating. My work is to build bridges between where we came from and where we are now, and to hopefully eliminate some of the karma that we bring in from lifetime to lifetime. We drag it like Marley's chains, you know. And so in my work, taking people into other lifetimes, which I call multi-life therapy, this happens many, many times. And sometimes with real life-changing effects. And many, many times it's really lovely to be able to work with everything that the unconscious, I would say, our unconscious unknowingness allows us to bring. We access other lifetimes through relaxation techniques and guided imagery. And this is all explained in Journals of a Healer. It's not Unleash Your Hidden Genius. It is a personal account of ventures beyond time, space, and so-called reality. And this work has, though it seemed to me perfectly understandable, my goodness, because I've been there and I've been working with it since 1980, many people have questions when they read the book, and even when they listen in on us. And it's quite amazing that the questions bring out so much more about that, and sometimes things that I hadn't even thought about. So that's why I am I'm making myself available now for readers who might want to ask questions and might understand the process better as we go into other lifetimes and meet and deal with our other incarnations and discover what went wrong, and with Spirit's guidance and help, we literally rewrite history and erase the karma. So I'm going to open the forum now to questions from the audience. If you do have a question, please let me know. Hello?
Mary?
Yes.
Hello, Mary. It's Candy Crush from California.
How nice to hear from you.
Well, I really don't have a question right now, but you helped me last week about my submarine, you know, being in the submarine, and I just thought I would share that on the radio.
That would be marvelous. Yes, I do recall.
I spoke to radio last week because I didn't call the show in. I think we spoke off the radio. And it was just so amazing how you relieved that from my consciousness, because I was speaking to you about how I become claustrophobic in the apartment with all the windows closed when I have to have the air conditioning on. And that I always had a fear of, when I was a kid, about, you know, how my mother never really put me in the shower, only baths. And then, you know, I turned a teenager, I took a shower myself, and I actually had an asthma attack because when the water first hit me in the face, I went into a panic. And you were just so kind, and you asked me about if I could watch submarine movies, and I said how I can't watch even people underwater struggling. I can't, you know, watch that or being in a submarine. And you made me, you know, I don't know what you made me do, but it really helped me, because right now I'm sitting in my apartment with the air conditioner on, all the windows closed, and I'm calm. Because you brought to my attention that I had one of my past lives died in a submarine, and the water just starts to gush in. And I think you nailed it right on the head, Mary.
Okay. Well, I just simply tuned in and asked my spirit guides what could cause you to feel like that, and of course I got the answers, and it seemed so perfectly logical at the time. It made sense, but I'm fascinated to find out, because usually I work with people and they merrily go on their way, and I don't get a chance to find out how if it had changed their lifetime or anything like that. And so that was marvelous to be able to hear from you, and perhaps the various different kinds of events that you experience would be helpful to other people, you know, definitely.
Yes.
One second. I have another call coming in. Hello. Oh yes. The telephone number is 713-955-0775. Okay. Thank you so much. Hi, that was another caller who seemed to have lost the number for the show. So,
well, good. At least that just y'all the number.
So. Yeah, exactly. So at any rate, so it sounds as if your life is getting much more comfortable, that you're able to deal. You know, when we have these unresolved conflicts from other lifetimes, obviously it confuses us because it doesn't make sense. And sometimes a lot of people have been, you know, they will say, you know, I felt like I was going crazy because my reaction didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you couldn't figure out why you were so uncomfortable when you were in a closed quarters. I mean, what in the world? Nothing in your lifetime, would have seemed to be something that would cause you to be claustrophobic, and yet you were having these terrible, terrible asthmatic reactions. So, how is your asthma now? Are you having less problems with it?
Yes. I just feel like, because I used to even have the problem if I was in an office building or a doctor's office that wasn't cooling off, or even a store. And it's been way before I went to menopause, so it's been with me all my life. But you just asked the right questions when I spoke to you about it. To you know, even go back to the fact that when I, you know, when I first started taking showers, it used to take my breath away. So, yeah, it's just so amazing because I wasn't conscious of the fact that that's what some of the malfunctions or the, you know, idiosyncrasies that I'm walking around with probably stem from a past life. And I'm sort of becoming a little bit more easier with myself because I'm my own worst enemy. And I always try to see perfection. Everything has to be just so. It has to be just this way. And I'm trying to let go of that also.
I understand. Yeah. Well, Candy, thank you so much for your input and the comments, and I really appreciate it. We do have another caller. Let me see if we can. Yeah, let me see here. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay. I just have I'm a nurse, and I've been studying about the whole systems of people with mental health illness and substance use disorders. And also I'm involved with churches, and all these people say, the system is broken and there's so many people that are homeless or in jail because of mental health issues and these substance use because they self-medicate for all this pain and shame. So
yes.
It's like, what kind of insight do we have that we can begin to untangle this mess and really create a system that works for people? Because it's such a burden to families and communities and society. And people just view it as such a huge project that they don't know how to approach it. So do you have any insights?
Well, as I'm tuning in to this kind of a situation, and I begin to get a sort of a glimmer here, it seems that it has a great deal to do with self-esteem and unexplainable shame and
it's like
unhappiness.
They've lost their voice somewhere in their background. Mm-hmm. They've lost their voice. They've lost their feelings of hope, and they've replaced them with anxiety and hopelessness and a different reality because they can't deal with what is really going on. Or
exactly, and it's in other lifetimes, we have had experiences that do in many many times affect this current lifetime, and one of them things like the Inquisition and things like the witch hunts and things like all of the shame the shaming that still goes on many times, and I believe that an unfulfilled lifetime in the sense that nothing you do works could definitely affect this lifetime. And when people feel hopeless, when they feel as if nothing they do or say is going to help people to understand them and appreciate them and give them credit for who they are, they will sort do all kinds of things just to get away from reality. If they don't seem to be able to handle reality, and they don't seem to be able to build bridges of communication between them themselves and other people in society. And this is when you get high or when you're drunk, you can fool yourself very easily and live a kind of imaginary sense of building up the self-esteem, and it's all false. And then when you come down, it's even worse. Because there's shame and embarrassment and being attacked by other people. And when you have such low self-esteem, it is difficult to believe other people who tell you they want to work with you and believe in you. It's kind of like the old Groucho Marx quip, you know, I wouldn't join a country club that would have me as a member.
Huh. Wow. I don't recall that, but anyway, yeah, the intent and the thought behind it and is pretty severe. Judgment, self-judgment.
Yes, it's dreadful, and it's hard to imagine how to put yourself in the place as someone who is on their side. It's hard for them to believe that anyone is really on their side.
Yeah, and then
is on their side, there must be something wrong with them.
Ah. And in later years now, I mean, that the research of the brain, you know, has been making such advances and with quality early childhood learning centers where they're really teaching kids emotional intelligence. And then they get to the profound things that happen in kids' neuro pathways in their brains if they're exposed to early traumas, like, for instance, a child being brought up in a family with an alcoholic or a drug parent, or, you know, somebody seeing great violence and poverty and drugs and just, you know, all of that is really creates a lot of weird neural pathways that then
and identification and identification with the loved alcoholic parent, for example.
Yeah,
who can be totally charming and adorable when they're off and on and off and on, and it gives them it pulls the rug out from them constantly.
It's
so that there's
this hide. Yeah, they see both sides all the time. Yeah. So how do we help people heal from that? Because it's creating a huge issue in society.
Yes, it is. And oddly enough, the work that I do, as unorthodox as it might seem to you as a medical professional, when we go into other lifetimes and encounter I call it soul brother or sister, another incarnation, and discover the traumas and the tragedies that they endured and were unable to deal with and to resolve, then they just bring it, it's brought forward into our lifetime, but it's so deeply buried we don't even know it's there.
Yeah. Well, and then the other component, as I study about this, I'm, you know, talking with church people, then they give me books and they give me people's names and I research on the internet. So I have been listening to a lot of YouTube video kind of speeches of these different perspectives. And there was, very interesting. There's some people that just, and the church people particularly say, do not allow yourself to go to any past life, you know, that sets you up for Satan to get a hold of you, you know. And then,
isn't that sad?
Yeah, well, and then there's people that say that even the whole field of psychiatry and psychology is mind control, and that that Christians should stay away from that. I was like, really? Oh, my gosh. I went to a Christian-based nursing school, and they taught us, you know, psychology. That's a mandatory thing. And it's like, yes, everything is a double edge. There's two sides to every coin. So, yes, psychology has been used to for marketing and for controlling the masses, for getting them to buy this crap food that's not really food.
Yeah,
it feeds the illness care machine. It's just like a huge, huge thing. So, yes, I do wish as a Christian that God, you know, Jesus would have the second coming so that all of this world resets and would have all this baloney. But meanwhile,
well,
what can we do?
Well, as I recall reading in the Bible, it says that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. So that means to me that God is everywhere.
Yes.
God is all-powerful, and God knows everything. So
God is the pixels in the body of Christ. You know,
absolutely
gifted. Yeah, and we are meant to learn to work together in peace and harmony, and then actually maybe that's the second coming, you know.
Or as one of my spirit guides said, think of yourself as a corpuscle in the body of God.
Exactly, and that's what I do. So I'm glad to hear that other people are thinking that way.
Absolutely.
I'm just a little cell. Yeah.
No question at all.
And they think we as cells, we're how the meek will inherit the earth, because we realize we're just little cells and we have to come together. My husband is into movies, and he showed me this movie called The Transformer, because I was actually at this event dressed as a tooth fairy. It was a whole event where the medical, all the dentists and the hygienists and all these helping volunteers come together. They set up this huge event, and the people that can't afford dentistry sit and wait like a rock concert.
Yeah.
And they handle thousands and thousands of people in one weekend. You know,
Yeah, it was.
So I was going around as a tooth fairy, mingling and talking with the different people. Well, these two guys came up to me and said, "Oh, it's a tooth fairy. Can we have a picture with you?" Well, I didn't know what they represented, but my husband, who watches lots of movies, says, "Those are the Transformers. That's Bumblebee and Optimus Prime." And I said, "Are they good guys?" And he said, "Yes." So I had my picture with them. And then he showed me the movie about the Transformers, and it was really funny, because that's what gave me the idea of, oh, my gosh, we're all just little pixels in this body of Christ. And we can transform the world by finding each other and coming together with the common mindset of looking at all these problems with love and acceptance and forgiveness and helping these people with whatever they need.
You know what occurred to me?
What?
That God realized he couldn't reach everybody with just one person.
Yeah.
So he decided... to enlist a whole bunch of us.
Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes from, and we come from
absolutely
a long line of people that were selected to be the people that did hear about Christ's ministry, because Christ said, "You, those that come after me will be able to do everything I do and even more." And yet,
exactly,
if we claim that heritage, do you know how much they're going to want to tar and feather us and run us out of town and burn us at the stake again?
Oh, my Lord, yes, because you know, according to them, all the miracles stopped in Revelations. It ended there. Cut it off. Boom. No more miracles.
We haven't had the fulfillment of Revelations yet. I thought that was always end times, that's in the future. Well, we're still living in the present, so we're not living in the future yet.
one person's future is another person's past.
Exactly. Woo, that missed that. We're just past. Our past conversation is history, Mary. We're always in the present. Yes.
Well, that also goes with... with my lovely friend, my spirit guide, Stardust, who says there is not one truth. There are many truths, because every truth is only perfectly, totally true in that it happens.
Exactly, which is the whole little fractal about that story about the three blind men trying to describe an elephant, while each one touching a different body part. Everybody's perception in reality is slightly different.
There are many truths.
Yeah, and I believe Jesus also said that in my father's room, there's many rooms. I go
many
there
mansions,
to
I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm so
glad to be sharing this moment
expansion with you, because it's so hard for me to find people that will even entertain such a conversation as we're having.
Well,
people are so freaked
I would love to continue this, but our time is up.
Let's
talk about this again on a future program, because I think there are a lot of people that need to hear what you have to say.
And you, thank you so much for your gift of how you facilitate this. I wouldn't know how to do a blog talk radio. So thank you, Mary, for who you are in the pixel in the body of Christ transforming the world for good. So thank you.
And thank you so much. Bye.
Yeah, we'll keep opening our gifts in the present. All righty.
Yes, we will. Bye.
Bye-bye.